Thank you, Les. In all the things that we endeavor to do, it's always of the utmost importance that when we read the Word of God and talk about it, in order for it to make sense, in order for it to find a permanent place in our heart, it needs to be attended and borne witness to by that power of God's Holy Spirit. And I'm sure that all of us are aware of this. I remind you of a couple of things, as you already know. Before I say that, some of the rest that have come from Colorado Reunion probably send their best wishes to you. Those people out there try to be sure that everybody everywhere was aware of their prayers for them and their love for them, and they send that along to you. Along with this thing with Kathy and David, which is very, very important, and I hope this doesn't diminish the thought of any of those things in your mind, but Johnny Bell is going to have surgery to replace a knee here pretty quick, and that's one of the things that they would like to ask for your prayers for, that God will watch over the whole thing. You know, this gospel of Jesus Christ that we talk about, we call it the gospel, but it seems to me like sometimes some people tend to let that remove the inborn need that we all have for the guidelines that it provides, because I'm not even going to call it a religion. I'm going to call it a lifestyle. I'm going to call it a way of life, a way of thinking. And if we forget that the gospel that Jesus gave us, that came from his Father, and today you probably heard a lot better sermon this morning about a father for the thing of Father's Day, but Jesus' Father gave him these words that he brought to us. It's his testimony that he sealed and borne witness to in his blood. He gave his life for it. And as we think about these things, I'm going to read you a story this evening of a thing a father did for his boys. I'm going to read just two verses, and then I'm going to kind of go back to the beginning of the thing. And those two verses are the verses 74 and 75 on page 557 in the second chapter of Helaman. And when I refer you there, you probably know who I'm talking about. He starts out and he says, "Now, my sons, remember, that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, which is Christ, the Son of God, that we must build your foundation. When the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to that gulf of misery and endless woe, because of the rock upon which ye are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereupon, if men build, they cannot fall." It seems to me like that at this time in our generation that the name of Jesus Christ and the things for which he stood, the salvation that he brought, is under assault. And the devil is trying as hard as he can to get us to reject the idea that anything so important as this cannot be built around a single individual, even though that individual was the Son of God. But they don't want to believe that. They don't want to have you believe that. And so I hope that you are able to stand the assault of these things, because there is no other name or way for man to be saved except in and through this Lord Jesus Christ, this Son of God. I'm going to start at verse 67 on the previous page, on page 556. And this is I'll start on verse 66. It begins in my book, on the bottom of the very previous page. And it came to pass that Nephi had become very weary, and because of their iniquity, he yielded up the judgment seat and took it upon him to preach the word of God all the remainder of his days. And his brother Lehi also all the remainder of his days. For they remember the words which their father spake unto them. And these are the words which he spake. Behold, my sons, I desire that ye should remember to keep the commandments of God. And I would that ye should declare unto the people these words. Behold, I have given you the names of our first parents, which came out from the land of Jerusalem, and this I have done, that when you remember your names, that you may remember them. And when you remember them, you may remember their works. And when you remember their works, you may know how that it is said, and also written, that they were good. Therefore, my sons, I would that ye should do that which is good, that it may be said of you, and also written, even it has been said and written of them. And now, my sons, behold, I have somewhat more to desire of you, which desire is that ye may not do these things that ye may boast, but that ye may do these things to lay up for yourselves a treasure in heaven, yea, which is eternal, and which fadeth not away, yea, that ye may have that precious gift of eternal life, which we have reason to suppose hath been given to our fathers. Oh, remember, my sons, the words which King Benjamin spake unto his people. Yea, remember that there is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved, only through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, which shall come. Yea, remember that he cometh to redeem the world. And remember also the words which Amalek spake unto Zizron in the city of Ammonah. For he said unto him that the Lord surely should come to redeem his people, but that he should not come to redeem them in their sins, but to redeem them from their sins. And he hath power given unto him from the Father to redeem them from their sins because of repentance. Therefore he has sent his angels to declare the tidings of the conditions of repentance, which bringeth unto the power of the Redeemer unto the salvation of their souls. And now, my sons, remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, which is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation. That when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts and a whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe, because of the rock upon which ye are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereupon, if men build, they cannot fall. That is really a powerful statement to me, that if you do this. And then it goes on, it says, and it came to pass that these words were the words which Helaman taught to his sons, He did teach them many things which are not written, and also many things which are written. And they did remember his words, and therefore they went forth, keeping the commandments of God, to teach the word of God among all the people of Nephi, beginning at the city Bountiful, and from thenceforth to the city of Gid, and from the city of Gid to the city of Mulek, and even from one city to another, until they had gone forth among all the people of Nephi, which were in the land southward, and from thence into the land of Zarahemla among the Lamanites. And it came to pass that they did preach with great power, insomuch that they did confound many of those dissenters which had gone over to the Nephites, insomuch that they came forth and did confess their sins and were baptized unto repentance, and immediately returned to the Nephites to endeavor to repair unto them the wrongs which they had done. And it came to pass that Nephi and Lehi did preach unto the Lamanites with such great power and authority, for they had power and authority given unto them that they might speak, and they also had what they should speak given unto them. Therefore they did speak unto the great astonishment of the Lamanites, to the convincing them, insomuch that there were 8,000 of the Lamanites which were in the land of Zarahemla and round about, baptized unto repentance, and were convinced of the wickedness of the traditions of their fathers. You know, in our land today, we can make a statement like this, but this last part is the thing that's even amazing to us now, because it says they were not only baptized in repentance, they were convinced of the wickedness of the traditions of their fathers. And it came to pass that Nephi and Lehi did proceed from thence to go to the land of Nephi. And it came to pass their way were taken by an army of the Lamanites and cast into prison, yea, even in that same prison in which Ammon and his brethren were cast by the servants of Lehi. And after they had been cast into prison many days without food, behold, they went forth into the prison to take them, that they might slay them. And it came to pass that Nephi and Lehi were encircled about as if by fire, even insomuch that they durst not lay their hands upon them for fear lest they should be burned. Nevertheless, Nephi and Lehi were not burned. There they were as standing in the midst of fire and were not burned. And when they saw that they were encircled about with a pillar of fire, and that it burned them not, their hearts did take courage. For they saw that the Lamanites durst not lay their hands upon them, neither durst they come near unto them, but stood as if they were struck dumb with amazement. It came to pass that Nephi and Lehi did stand forth and began to speak unto them, saying, Fear not, for behold, it is God that has shewn unto you this marvelous thing, in the which is shewn unto you that ye cannot lay your hands on us to slay us. And behold, when they had said these words, the earth shook exceedingly, and the walls of the prison did shake as if they were about to tumble to the earth, but behold, they did not fall. And behold, they that were in the prison were Lamanites and Nephites, which were dissenters. And it came to pass that they were overshadowed with a cloud of darkness, and an awful solemn fear came upon them. And it came to pass that there came a voice, as if it were above a cloud of darkness, saying, repent ye, and seek no more to destroy my servants, which I have sent unto you to declare good tidings. And it came to pass when they heard this voice and beheld that it was not a voice of thunder, neither what is a voice with of great tumultuous noise, but behold, it was still voice with perfect mildness, as if it had been a whisper, and it did pierce even to the very soul. And notwithstanding the mildness of the voice, behold, the earth shook exceedingly, and the walls of the prison trembled again, as if it were about to tumble to the earth, and behold, the cloud of darkness which had overshadowed them did not disperse. And behold, the voice came again, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and seek no more to destroy my servants. And it came to pass that the earth shook again, and the walls trembled, and also again the third time the voice came and did speak unto them marvelous words which cannot be uttered by man. And the walls did tremble again, and the earth shook as if it were about to divide asunder. And it came to pass that the Lamanites could not flee because of the cloud of darkness which did overshadow them, yea, and also they were immovable because of the fear which did come upon them. Now there was one among them who was a Nephite by birth, who had once belonged to the church of God, but had descended from them. And it came to pass that he turned him about, and behold, he saw through the cloud of darkness the faces of Nephi and Lehi. And behold, they did shine exceedingly, even as the faces of angels. And he beheld that they did lift their eyes to heaven, and they were in an attitude as if talking or lifting their voices to some being which they beheld. And it came to pass that this man did cry unto the multitude that they might turn and look. And behold, there was power given unto them that they did turn and look, and they did behold the faces of Nephi and Lehi. And they said unto the men, behold, what doth all these things mean? And who is it with whom these men do converse? Now the man's name was Amminadab. And Amminadab saith unto them, they do converse with the angels of God. And it came to pass that the Lamanites said unto him, what shall we do that this cloud of darkness may be removed from overshadowing us? And Amminadab saith unto them, ye must repent and cry unto the voice, even until ye shall have faith in Christ. Now he dissented from all of this, but now he's coming back and he's telling these people the things that he knows is true. And they're to cry to this voice and to keep at it until they cry and have faith in Christ, which was taught unto you by Alma and Amulek and Zizurim. And when ye shall do this, a cloud of darkness shall be removed from overshadowing you. It's funny, all these things could come back to him even after he had driven away. He had fled from his home area so that he didn't have to stand and confess those things before. Now he did it. And it came to pass that they all began to cry unto the voice of him which had shook the earth. Yea, they did cry even until the cloud of darkness was dispersed. And it came to pass that when they cast their eyes about and saw the cloud of darkness was dispersed from overshadowing them, and behold, they saw that they were encircled about, yea, every soul, by a pillar of fire. And Nephi and Lehi were in the midst of them, yea, they were encircled about, yea, they were as if in the midst of a flaming fire. Yet it did not harm, it did harm them not, neither did it take hold upon the walls of the prison. And they were filled with that joy which is unspeakable and full of glory. And behold, the Holy Spirit of God did come down from heaven and did enter into their hearts, and they were filled as if with fire, and they could speak forth marvelous words. I'd like to stop a moment and see what has occurred here. These people were overshadowed with a thing that they had never encountered before, a cloud of darkness that apparently they could see certain things, but not everything. And it was so fearful that they couldn't see even how to run away. And so they cried out to this voice until they could have faith in Christ. And this fact that they did this, we forget that in having faith in Christ, it includes a lot more than that. Statement is pretty comprehensive because it includes all the things that Christ did, in their case, that was going to do, and all the things that he was going to say, all the things he stood for, to have faith in him that he would not only do and say all of those things, but it would have the effect upon them of providing the opportunity for salvation. And so this made a transition in their hearts to the point that the Holy Spirit was invited into their hearts. And it speaks here in the third occasion when this voice came. It spoke marvelous words which cannot be uttered by man. But you know, God never does anything just for show. Those marvelous words, whatever they were, needed to find an understanding in the hearts of those people they were spoken to. Because he didn't do things just to impress people. And it's just like Jesus said, gave us the guidance. Don't judge by appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So as we do this, we have to realize all of these things were occurring in the hearts of these people. And then it goes ahead and says, and it came to pass that there came a voice unto them, yea, a pleasant voice, as if it were a whisper, saying, peace, peace be unto you, because of your faith in my well-beloved, which was from the foundation of the world. And now when they heard this, they cast up their eyes as if to behold from whence the voice came, and behold, they saw the heavens open. And angels came down out of heaven and ministered unto them. And there were about 300 souls which saw and heard these things. And they were bid to go forth and marvel not, neither should they doubt. And it came to pass that they did go forth and did minister unto the people, declaring throughout all the regions round about all the things which they had heard and seen, insomuch that the more part of the Lamanites were convinced of them because of the greatness of the evidences which they received. And as many as were convinced did lay down their weapons of war and also their hatred and the traditions of their fathers. And it came to pass that they did yield up unto the Nephites the lands of their possession. Lands they had taken, now they were giving it back. This is the transition that had to occur in the heart of every person that was there. But we have to realize, too, that in the midst of all this, these words, the words that I read to you here, they're only words on a page, unless the power and the influence of God's Spirit bears a witness of their truthfulness to your heart and to mine. It is vitally important to us that this Holy Ghost that we are promised, that occurs at baptism, also bear that connective witness so that these words that come from God, that are now written in this book, can find a connection with each soul that reads or hears them. We are in this era of time when many of us are recognizing that, like it's spoken of in the 24th chapter of Matthew, where it says there will be earthquakes and pestilences and all these things in diverse places. I'm not as old as some of you, and yet I'm older than others. But in my lifetime, I don't remember all of these things, earthquakes, storms, tornadoes, all these things we've heard about, but not all at the same time, not in the same year, and floods. We have a standard to bear. The words of that standard are written in this book and in this one. And we are called upon, each one of us, ministry especially, but every single soul that becomes a member of the body of Christ. We find it incumbent upon us to let our friends and neighbors know the things that we stand for. But we need to remember that to do this, through the years, please don't be offended by this, through the years, many things have happened. And we find out about those things. We find out about differences between individuals, important individuals that you and I love. Some of them have passed on. But the ideologies and the differences and the hostile feelings are passed along from generation to generation. Even the different points of doctrine that we find, we're having a little trouble with. So mix this in to coming close enough to God that this story of a father that gave the names, prayed for, passed along the word of God to his children, gave them a commission, if you will. Even though they had to really have that calling and commission from the Almighty. But all of these things were there. But the thing that convinced these Nephites to do the things that they did was one of the basic things that Jesus says we have to do or we cannot be saved. and that is forgive. Sometimes, I'm probably talking to the choir here, because I suppose all you understand this, that whatever it is, our society, for instance, in our political arena, when somebody does certain things, he is banished from the group, and he can never be forgiven because the idea is put forth, well, he's done this, and maybe he's not doing it now, but he'll eventually go back and do it. It's like there's no way that he can change. But brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, all of us, that's what Jesus is asking us to do. We struggle with these different feelings within us and the different stories that are passed around. You don't need to tell me what they are. I know they're there. I've heard them all my life. But when we go to God, we have to come and lay that aside. And eventually we have to come to the place when we haven't just laid it aside for 4 or 5 minutes. It is gone. And that's what God does for us. You're going to say to me, well, I can't do away with the memory. Maybe not. But I'm telling you this. It speaks. Well, I've forgotten what verse it is right now, but it tells you that you can't really come to God in the way that he asked you to come unless you have charity. He has told you, you have to have that in order to be saved in the kingdom of God. And if you do, that means that this Holy Spirit has entered into your heart because of your desire to have it and maintain its presence within you. And this is the thing that causes you to be able to put away ill feelings and false traditions to enable you to see the truth. Scientists tell us that they find the truth by investigation. I'm going to make a statement that's a little bit different than you find in the scriptures, and yet I'd like to have you prove it by the scriptures. True truth cannot be had unless the presence of God's Spirit enters into you and is present in its presentation. Because absolute truth comes from God and nowhere else. So if you want to know the truth, you have to go to the source of truth. Because there is another individual called the devil, and Jesus himself called him the father of lies. So, what we need to do, you say, well, brother, you know, you have to do that too, and I'm going to tell you, you better believe it. I have no choice. We have to come to God like these people did. There is a graphic thing here that I'd like to call attention to, a great storm that happened at the crucifixion of Jesus upon this land. And we see evidences of it all over the land. Colorado is a place where it seems that it's kind of a center that you can recognize a bunch of the things that are written in the scriptures about that storm. But the fact that you see the effect of things that God can do, and at the same time that he does that, he can be so gentle and caring and so rigid and unchangeable. At the same time, we as human beings have a great deal of difficulty accepting that because we're not like that. But he is. So I guess it's my continual prayer that I can come to the acceptance of this, because he's trying to get our attention. He's using people to do things in a wrong way to break our nation. But at the same time that is occurring, he's doing things that men have been trying for ages, forever, to control the weather, even control the water to get it away from areas so that they'll be able to use all the land, and that when you have great rains, it won't flood everything and ruin things. But now we find that God in his own way has made it so that you got a flood coming. To us down here, we're having rain, but that's not the thing that's really causing a flood. He caused it to snow over and over again. And then it all thaws out and runs off at the same time. And then a little bit of rain to go with it. And where are you going to put all that water? We're having trouble with that. We planned. We did all the things we knew how to do, supposedly. Just like with Katrina. We as a nation, and I know you know this, but I guess I'm asking for you to understand that God wants us to cry out to him because of all the wickedness and the ideologies that are being put forth to cloud our minds and cause us to not understand what needs to be done to stop using the name of Jesus Christ, which brings to us the message, the only way to be saved and have eternal life. We need to cry out to him to give us the strength to stand and do the things that he's asked us to do. We have a message that's given to us many times that tells us we have to be prepared. And I think that's true. I'd like to turn now to the 25th chapter of Matthew. Most of you will know what I'm going to read about. I won't read the whole thing. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." But he answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." There's been a, and I'm not saying that the answer that I'm going to give you is all of it, but I am saying this. We have to realize there were 10 virgins. Five were wise and five were not. All were virgins. All were there. All knew about the Lord. All wanted to go in. The preparedness that I think we need to concentrate on more than anything else, and I guess we all have our own pet ways of saying that we can come to God and maintain His Spirit in our lives. But I'm going to say that if you are going about trying to serve God, trying to keep His commandments in every way that you know how, that's the preparedness that God is trying to get us to do. One of our brothers said one time, you know, we need to get prepared. We need to go and just be able to have God's Spirit to guide us at all times. And you're saying, well, you know, we got all the rules. And then one of the brothers said, well, I guess the biggest thing is we have to teach our people and get them not to lie, cheat, steal, and commit adultery. And it startled everybody. And it should have. But these are things, brothers and sisters, that there's all kinds of ways for the keeping of the commandments of God. It has to be the way you think. It has to be your way of life. Your lifestyle. I know that each one of you know this, but I guess the reason that I have said it the way I have is we need to recognize that in our society, people are isolated. You here, most of you, I've known all your lives. And but those people out there don't seem to be as strong. And sometimes the people in here are the same way. We've had some of it, and we call it, well, they've just fallen away. Yeah, they have. But every one of them is like a sheep that is lost. And God can forgive them. The sheep, and it talks about the shepherd going and finding the sheep. And he leaves the rest of the sheep, and he goes and he stays until he finds the sheep. And then he puts it on his shoulder and brings it back. And you say, well, I can't live someone else's life for them. And that all is quite true. But brothers and sisters, this may be oversimplifying it, but we are helpless without the power of the Holy Spirit attending our efforts. All the things that we believe and are told, we need to have that Spirit with us to not only give us the strength and the courage and the determination to make the effort, but so that our efforts will bear the fruit of being able to touch the hearts of those that we work with, that they will see. There's a big thing in the world today. One person will say to the other, well, you're just trying to control me. You're a control freak. And so you come back to yourself and you try to rehearse what you're being saying, and then you find out that all you said was, Jesus said this and Jesus said that. And so because Jesus says it, I'm a control freak. But you can't change the way they do it, only insofar, well, and this is why it makes it hard, because we can't always tell what they're going to do. And it's written in simple language, and yet, when it comes to a person trying to carry it out, it's another thing. And it's written in the 15th chapter of 2 Nephi. It says, now I, Nephi, cannot write all the things which were taught among my people, neither am I mighty in writing like unto speaking. For when a man speaketh by the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost carrieth it unto the hearts of the children of men. Now that verse gives a mighty message. But this man was realistic enough to know that that wasn't the end of what he was trying to say. But, behold, there are many that harden their hearts against the Holy Spirit, that it hath no place in them, wherefore they cast many things away which are written, and esteem them as things of naught. And then he goes on and say, but I have written what I have written, and esteem it of great worth, and especially unto my people. We have to recognize this can't happen unless when we go forth, the Holy Spirit is with us. And if they close their hearts, that has to be a thing they do. But if we don't make the effort, their blood is on us. I hope that the thing I've said to you will encourage you. Sometimes these words come out and it seems like they're a doomsday thing, but God has a Holy Spirit that he can send with us. Each one of us, even when we talk to our neighbors, to help them see the right way. Just like, now why I did it, sometimes I wonder myself. This last trip, it seemed like most of this happened in the checkout line. And people would be talking about the different things that were happening in the world, these tornadoes and all this. And I say, you know, I think God's trying to get his attention. He's trying to get our nation to behave better and be better people. And at first I thought, well, boy, somebody would probably get mad and look down their nose at me, but you know they didn't do that. They turned to me and said, yeah, I believe you're right. Now, whether this is the only way or not, all I know is it worked. And I hope we can get the message across to more people. God be with all of you, and thank you for the privilege of being here and talking to you.